Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text today is from our epistle reading from 2 Timothy, where Paul, after talking about that he's being poured out as a drink offering, continues, "For Demas, in love with this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Christians has gone to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. Luke alone is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he's very useful to me in my ministry. Tychicus I have sent to Ephesus, and when you come, bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas, also the books, and above all, the parchments." And today we consider, what is a holy work, and what holy work we're called to? Brothers and sisters in Christ, today is St. Luke the Evangelist Sunday, the day that we remember St. Luke, the one whom the Spirit inspired to write one of the Gospels in the book of Acts. And you might think that maybe we're going to talk about some of the high points of that Gospel today. Maybe the birth of Jesus or the Good Samaritan. Maybe the Ascension mentioned in Luke and Acts. And each of these would be a sermon on its own. And might be a good sermon, but not one today. We might refer to these Acts in Luke and Acts, but they're not central today. Today we're going to talk about Luke, St. Luke, the evangelist. But we have a problem in talking about St. Luke. Our problem is that he is barely mentioned in the Scriptures. In fact, the passage above, the one that says, "Luke alone is with me," is one of the few places in Scripture that he's mentioned by name. And in fact, it's probably the most substantial. Luke's not an apostle. He was not one of the 12. He was not a pastor of a church. The only reason we think he's in Acts is because sometimes the text goes from saying they went here and there to we went here and there, implying that Luke, the author, was with Paul and his retinue. Luke performs no miracles. Luke gives no sermons. In fact, you might be wondering at this point, why are we spending a Sunday remembering Luke? And Luke, who never did mention himself by name, not even in Acts when he was there, well, he might wonder the same thing. Why spend a Sunday on me? We'll talk about that. When you look through my grandparents' photo album, you'll find a lot of pictures of my grandma and my mom and my uncles. And you'll see lots of pictures in the places that they camped and the sights that they saw and all the things that they did. But if you look through that photo album, you might say something is missing. My grandpa almost never shows up. Now, it's not that my grandpa wasn't there. He's the one who planned the trips. He's the one who drove to all those places. But he was also the one who was behind the camera, taking the pictures. And while most of these things couldn't have happened without him, he didn't actually show up in the pictures. Now, you probably know someone like my grandpa, and in fact, you might actually be someone like my grandpa, who's there and is part of the story of the trip, of the family, of lives together, but doesn't ever actually make it into the picture. And maybe you, if you are that someone, maybe it's for you that we remember St. Luke. See, often we remember the big stories of Scripture. Now, of course, we remember the death and resurrection of Jesus. That is the story of Scripture, how God redeems us. But they are big stories, and they are the big story. But we also remember stories where demons are cast out and the devil's defeated. We remember stories where giants are cast down and the people are delivered. We remember stories where God shows great power. And these are good and they are true, and it's good that we remember them. But sometimes our focus on the big events of salvation history, of the big pictures, give us a picture of God who cares mainly about the big things. Maybe we'd even say the spiritual things, that place where we need to see his power, where he operates in ways where we can't do it ourselves. It's hard to remember that God is also the God of the physical, of the earthy, of the small things. In fact, if we want to misuse the old joke about a man and his wife, sometimes our lives are lived like we think God is there to make all the big decisions, to do the big lifting, and that we are in charge of the small things, the small decisions. And the thing is, we find that there's hardly ever a big decision. Suddenly it all becomes down to us. In the end, it's all about what to clean, what to eat, where to work, what to wear. All small things that we act like God's not concerned with, and we'll just figure it out ourselves. All small stuff, too little, too earthly for God to notice. Well, that's not who God is at all. And may God protect us from this thought. And may God use Luke to help protect us from this sinful thought. You might think from our text, as we look back at our text from 2 Timothy, you might say it's kind of odd, the part I emphasized. It's from the greetings, the part that we don't normally notice, and the further instructions. Our text started with a great big part, with Paul speaking about having fought the good fight, having run the race, having kept the faith, that God will give him the crown of righteousness. Big thoughts, big stories, and true. Big thoughts that you might put on a poster, that you might make a meme of, or you might use as a eulogy. God does give us the victory in Jesus, in his death and resurrection. But Paul doesn't stop with that. He doesn't say that's all that God does. Paul continues with instructions to come, with speaking of who is with him. Things we might even wonder, why is this even in Scripture? And here we hear that Luke alone is with him, encouraging an old man as his final hours approach. Here we see Luke sitting with and encouraging a friend who could use some encouragement. We see that Paul thinks of earthly things, that the Spirit inspires him to think of earthly things. In fact, he mentions a cloak, and some scriptures, some books, and some parchments. And we might say that's mighty earthly, but he doesn't mention them because they are not of God. He mentions them because they too are of God. These small things. They too are in Scripture. God is the God of our final salvation, of our crown of righteousness given in Christ Jesus. But he also gives us little foretastes inside this creation now. And he bid us see them. The God of life and death and salvation is also the God of cloaks and scrolls. He is the God of how we dress, He is the God of what we read. Now this might fill us with trepidation. But how much more when we think that we have to consider how we dress, what we read, what we watch, how we live, that God sees. But even more, remember, God sees. Even more, respond with joy. There is no part of your life. There is no part of what you wear or eat or talk about or watch or work that is too small for God to care about. As he says elsewhere in Scripture, even the hairs of your head are numbered. And God tells his people to think of him and his word in each of these pursuits. They should think of him and his word and his commandments. When you rise and when they lay down. When his people rise and when they lay down, when they go out and when they come in, from Deuteronomy 6, as he told the ancient Israel, and it was certainly true for ancient Israel, but it sounds, the going out and the coming in and the laying down and getting up might sound even more like our commuter society. And perhaps it's even more true for us than it was for them, because it's easy in our society to forget about God. Who's there even in the small things. Reformation Sunday approaches. We'll celebrate it next week. You might remember Luther was against the monasteries because they taught that their works were better or more holy. They made up works in their denials and said, oh, because we denied this, God will look on us favorably. When they punished themselves, they said God would look on them favorably. But it isn't what God said at all. God said, in your little things, in your lives, help your neighbor. Don't punish yourself, help your neighbor. And we as Lutherans see that this work of helping our neighbor, that's the one that God approves of. That's a holy work. And Luke reminds us of this as he speaks of all the work of helping and being at the feet of Jesus. Let all your work, the big ones, like helping to spread the word directly in the sacraments and the small ones. What you make in the kitchen, be done to God and be done for the good of your neighbor. Let God and your neighbor be your focus. Remember the words of Jesus, that as often as you have done this for one of the least of these, you have done it for me. Remember that. We teach. There is holy work. And so what we teach is not that all work is common, but we teach not that the work of word and sacrament is made common, but that our lives, our service, what we eat and talk about on the way are made holy. They are holy work. And Luke shows us this. Luke shows us God's salvation being worked, not just in big things, but even in how Mary dresses a baby in swaddling clothes and where she lays him down to sleep in a manger. God shows how God works even in our work in the kitchen as he speaks to Martha, not telling her not to work, but telling her don't forget where God is in your work. Let his word reign there too. In fact, maybe we'd say, to expand on what Jesus said, perhaps the kitchen is made for man and not man for the kitchen. Jesus was speaking of the Sabbath, but there is so much of our lives that we think works the other way, that God made things for us to serve. Luke shows us a God who cares. How you bandage a wound, putting on the bandage and the oil to heal. And he speaks of a harvest and says that as you do your harvest, remember particularly where all good things come from, that the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. He calls us of a God whose inner travel, as God directs Paul and his companions and those unnamed near him, all of their travel as his word is spread. He reminds us that there were 12 disciples, but 72 others were sent out. 72 nameless others. There is lots of work, big and small. And God is doing it all, and he does it through us. He calls each of us to work in the harvest. Whether it's doing the harvest ourselves, whether it's making a meal for the harvesters, that all have a part because the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. And God gives his blessing on the small things, the small parts. Luke was barely mentioned. Luke, who cares about the small things. Luke, who is not a pastor, but a physician. But Luke, who was also there, even when unnamed, for much of it, for the Acts of the Apostles, and heard from others there what happened with Jesus. He writes an account of Jesus' life. He writes about Jesus' life continuing in the church. And through him, God's people are encouraged. Through him, God encourages us in our lives to see God as the Lord of our whole life. So let him do the holy work that he will do in us. Let us listen to his word and receive his sacraments, and let us also live to serve our neighbor in everything we do. Let us fight that good fight. Let us win the race. Let us receive the crown of righteousness God has prepared for us. Let us do the holy work he gives us and remember what holy work, the great salvation that he has given to us. God is our God of big and small. Amen. Now may the peace that passes all understanding, hearts and minds, in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.